Hey everyone, welcome back to Movie Morning. Blue Beetle has now been out in theaters in a lot of markets for a couple of days, been out in the US for a day or two, and I think it's time to break down the mid-credit scene of this film and discuss all the potential ramifications for the future of the DCU, more specifically the Blue Beetle mantle as we head into potential sequels, if this movie earns enough money to get that. If you haven't seen the movie yet, this is going to be full of spoilers. It's going to go through the entire mid-credit scene as well as some of the history of the Blue Beetle mantle that's explained before that, what it could be teasing, and whether or not this confirms or doesn't confirm whether which universe this movie takes place in. Although I should point out that the director, as well as James Gunn, made it clear he's the first DCU character. If you haven't seen the movie, make sure to go check it out. I've already posted my non-spoiler review, and I've already said it's a really fun movie, and it's one I recommend you see in theaters with a crowd, even if it's one-on-one that I necessarily think is, like, an amazing film on the level of other DC films like The Dark Knight or The Batman. But I do recommend seeing it. I think it's a really fun, family-centric film that I really appreciated. And I just love the character. And I'm so glad he's finally been brought to the big screen well. Not only for the first time, but well. And there is so much about the mid-credit scene that I need to talk about. There's only really one thing in it, actually, but I can spawn to so many different things. And I'm such a big fan of Blue Beetle and his closest associates when it comes to his superhero teams. I need to talk about this. And if you're not too familiar with Blue Beetle, I'll give you a bit of a rundown here about what happens and what the meaning of a character who appears in it, who their meaning is, how they relate to Jaime, and all of that. So full spoilers ahead. If you haven't seen the film, stop watching. If you have and you want more into what could potentially be teasing, make sure to check. Make sure to stay here and listen to this episode. So getting straight into it, going straight into the ending of the film, this film ends with Jaime Reyes and his family back in Palmera City, back in their house with Jenny Cord, the daughter of Ted Cord, helping them to reconstruct their house and hopefully lead to a more equitable city as a whole, since they're on the poorer side of town. And the movie ends, and that's pretty much all we get. I'm trying to think if there was like a specific moment the movie ended on, but I don't remember exactly that. But that's pretty much where the story ends. And the villain's Carapax gets defeated by him sacrificing, but not necessarily sacrificing himself, but killing himself with Victoria Cord, who is also related to Ted Cord and has taken over his company from him. They both die, the two villains, although Carapax does have a bit of redemption. I wish the movie went into it more, but it's not a spoiler review. This is just me going into the ending. So the film ends relatively cleanly in kind of that regard, at least I think so. And it ends with a very complete movie, and I really appreciated that. And that's kind of where the film ends. But going into the mid-credit scene now, giving it some background like the movie does, the original Blue Beetle is Dan Garrett. And I don't remember exactly if this was under Charlton Comics or under DC. I know that when Ted Cord was first introduced, he was under Charlton Comics for a bit, but as of now, I think DC owns even all those stories. So Dan Garrett was the original Blue Beetle. Then Ted Cord took over in some iterations and some continuities. There's been many resets within DC Comics. Dan Garrett dies, and that's when he gives off the Blue Beetle mantle to Ted Cord and gives him the Scarab. But in this version, it seems like Dan Garrett was the mentor to Ted Cord, which I think makes it more interesting because Ted Cord has really nothing to do with Jaime Reyes, at least not as of yet. And Dan Garrett obviously had to die within that, and Ted Cord disappearing. Ted Cord married someone, I believe, from Brazil, which is where Jenny Cord's from. And Ted Cord's wife died, I believe it said, 2 years before Ted Cord ended up disappearing, which is a big part of why the event of this film happened. And what eventually happens is Victoria Cord, a relative of Ted Cord, takes over while his daughter does not approve of that whatsoever. And within those 2 years, where between Ted's wife dying and Ted eventually disappearing himself, he was kind of in and out of Jenny's life. Jenny, who is the daughter of Ted Cord, played by Bruno Marquezine in this film. And after that, disappeared for a long time. Jenny, I believe, is on the board of Cord Industries, one of the biggest companies in all of DC Comics. And it does not necessarily approve what Victoria Cord has been doing, which is him been rebuilding up the weapons. Now, looking at the two characters of Dan Garrett and Ted Cord, there's so much I could put into this, so I'm trying to limit it as much as possible. Dan Garrett was chosen by the Scarab. He could access the powers of the Blue Beetle. I'm assuming he had the voice and the Scarab's personality behind it. Ted Kord, on the other hand, while was chosen by Dan Garrett to continue on his legacy, could not do that. He instead was able to replicate the Scarab's abilities based off what he learned from Dan Garrett and his relatives, at least this is from the comics, and because of that, is able to replicate his abilities, and that's also partly because he's just a genius, and he's a billionaire, and he's very Bruce Wayne, like he has tons of tech, but he's also extremely smart. And Ted Kord, to me, and to a lot of people in the DC universe, is one of the brightest beacons of hope in the entire universe. He's just a very, he's just a good person. And every single comic you've ever seen Ted Kord depicted in, even stuff, dark stuff like The Human Target, recently written by Tom King, everyone likes it because he's just such a nice guy. And I do think the notion of him not being necessarily always there as a father because his wife died, while that doesn't fully sit right with me, I feel like there's a lot more there. And I feel like the death of his wife had to have been more impactful than this movie shows to him. But what I really like is Jenny Kord never exactly looks down on her father and remembers him anything but fondly, because she still remembers him well. And she says, you know, not all Kords are bad. Obviously, she's not only referring to herself. And Ted Kord was never able to access the powers of the Scarab, but pretty much replicated them with technology and all the money he had and all the resources at his disposal. And instead used Ted Kord Industries to actually try to help people and not just manufacture weapons and control systems. And that's the history of the Blue Beetle in terms of the mantle. However, Ted Kord disappeared a while before the events of this film, probably at least 10 years. And because of that, the Scarab was hidden, I believe, by Ted himself, because Ted did still have the Scarab, I believe, even if he wasn't accessing its abilities. And as a result, Victoria Kord took over the Kord Industries company, and we have this conflict in the film. Now jumping straight to the mid-credit scene, which takes us to Kord's Blue Beetle HQ, Ted Kord's underground Batcave, basically. And I love some of the gadgets that are exactly like the watch, the ones he uses in the comics. Loved seeing those there. And it shows a transmission coming in and a very obscured, figure. And I'm assuming that's because they haven't decided on an actor, which is really interesting because, a year ago, it was rumored that Jason Sudeikis would be playing Ted Kord. And actually, because of how I described Ted Kord and just being just a really nice guy and just a genuinely decent person, I feel like that's almost such a direct casting and just call to that, because Jason Sudeikis plays Ted Lasso, who, if you've ever seen Ted Lasso, I've only seen the first two seasons, so I haven't watched season three. You can absolutely see why they wanted to cast him. I don't know if he would have been my pick personally, but I would have been open to it, even if I would have been a little trepidatious. But anyways, they don't reveal who the actor is in this scene by not showing his face. Their transmission's coming in. And he basically says to whoever opens the computer, whoever turned this on, get this message to Jenny Kord. And it ends with him saying, Ted Kord is alive. He is Ted Kord. He's trying to get a message to his daughter, Jenny. And that's where the scene ends. There is also a post-credit scene. It's a joke. It's an inside joke. I didn't really fully get it, but I went online to see what was going on. I'm mainly talking about this scene. And the real tease ends there. And it seems like a very small thing, but I can turn this into about 15 different directions. But I'm going to talk about the main ones, about where this can mean. And that's really the question that comes up, is where is Ted Kord? Where is he, and why has he been gone so long? And why has no one found him? And why does he look the way he does? Which is very scruffy. While in the comics, Ted Kord is not bald, but doesn't exactly have much hair. And he just looks very, he has very scruffy hair, almost like he had a long beard. He just looked very, just not in line with how people in just modern day looks. Definitely not on Earth. So I'm really curious, maybe not on Earth as well, which I'll get into in just a second. And to me, I have two main explanations for this. One, which is less interesting, and I think what they're going to end up doing. Two, which the second one is one that I want and is extremely tied to comic book lore, and I'll need to get into that. And there's two ways they could go with this in my mind. The first one is the more simple one and probably the more likely one, and is a lot more in line with the plot of this film. And that's that all this time, Ted Kord has been trying to find out more about the Scarab. And pretty simply, he managed to make a ship that takes him to space, which completely is in line with his character, crash landed on a planet, and it's either being held captive or has no way to leave. Now, the Scarab comes from an alien race known as the Reach, and they are a very advanced society with much more sophisticated technology than Earth, who send down this scarab and make that and to turn their turn whoever has it into the Earth, into the world's protector. And once society and the technological advances have reached a certain point on that world, the Reach will come in and basically take over. I'm very much simplifying it. That's the concept of the Reach. It's very much like the Viltrumites in Invincible. That's how I would describe it. That's what I thought of when I learned of the Reach and went into the Jaime Reyes as a character. Now, in the comics, Jaime Reyes becomes Blue Beetle during Infinite Crisis, one of the biggest DC events in history, and starts his own run after that. But he discovers the Scarab. Ted Kord is already dead by the time he discovers the Scarab, just like in this film. Now, Ted Kord in the comics did actually die, but they just brought him back through a different method. Now, that's clearly what they're not doing here, because Ted Kord is indeed alive. So the simplest explanation is that Ted Kord is lost in space, finding the creators of the Scarab and trying to find out how to access his abilities, because he was never able to. The second explanation to me is a lot more interesting and is what I want. That's because I'm a big fan of Ted Kord and a particular friend who he may know from the future, and I'll get into that in just a second. But what I find odd is this message did not activate instantly when Uncle Rudy, who is Jaime's uncle, originally turned on Ted's computer, and instead activated a while after that. Now, there's two explanations. One is Uncle Rudy accessed it again, it just didn't show us, and he accessed a specific file, or someone else came in, because it almost seemed like the scene was shot in a certain way where someone was listening to the message. And what I'll say for the first one is it could have been maybe Jenny herself activating the message, or he just sent it. But for me, there's no explanation why Jaime Reyes or anyone involved in the family other than Jenny to go there. Now, admittedly, Jenny Kord and Jaime Reyes were on their way to the Kord mansion, so it may have been them two stumbling onto the message. But what I think is a much more fun explanation is Booster Gold, one of my all-time favorite DC characters, has a big involvement in this. And I think it's way more interesting to go down this direction, especially if Jaime Reyes is in the DCU. And it could have been him who finally came and has finally found out that his friend, his best friend, who, when, you know, Booster Gold is a bit of a douchebag, the person who really opened himself up to him and one of his best friends, or his best friend, Blue Beetle, Ted Kord, he's finally found him wherever he's lost. And that is where we get into my very fun fanboy theory, and that is that Ted Kord is lost in time. Whether that's in the time stream, just floating about, although obviously not because of how he looks, or a random point in time that stops him from returning to the present. Because Blue Beetle and Booster Gold are almost synonymous with each other, especially for people who only read, like, Justice League books and have seen them. Because he has such long hair in that particular moment, the thing about Booster Gold is that he is a time traveler from the 25th century. He's centuries in the future from where we are now, and he takes his very mundane future technology to travel back into the past and show off to people of today. He's a very fun character, and he has tons of character development. He's one of the most well-fleshed-out characters of DC Comics, and is so much fun, and is so funny, and I just love him, even more so than I love Blue Beetle, and I love Blue Beetle as a character. And I'm predicting that on a mission with Booster Gold, or just out there traveling with Booster Gold — Booster Gold isn't exactly the most straight-laced superhero who's going to follow all the rules of the time stream as laid out to him by one of his mentors, Rip Hunter — may have accidentally dropped off Blue Beetle at a random point in time, and Booster Gold has no way of reaching him. And there's a few explanations of this in different comics, but the time travel in DC is often represented as just a character floating through a void and then thinking of memories and then finding where they want to go. This is not how it was in The Flash whatsoever, although I guess it kind of was. And if characters get dropped off from whoever the main time traveler is, whoever they may be holding them and bringing them with them, they can get lost at any point in time. And maybe Ted Kord, while on a mission with Booster Gold, was dropped in the time stream. Maybe their vehicle exploded, maybe Skeet cannot save them, who is Booster Gold's sidekick, which is just, he's kind of an AI robot. And maybe Ted Kord was dropped in a point in time where he just did not have the resources to come back. Bringing me into my theory, and that is that Ted Kord is stuck during the Stone Ages, he's a caveman, he's living in the rocks, and he finally was able to come up with something because he's just that smart. And that's really where I'm at. My second theory about where he could be within time is Jonah Hex. And in the comics, there's a very fun run, a very fun issue where Jonah Hex meets Booster Gold. It's one of my favorite comics issues I've read in the past couple of months. And Booster Gold goes there to prevent the death of a very famous DC hero. I'm not going to name in case you ever wanted to read that story. But maybe in this time, maybe in this version of the DC universe, Booster went with Blue Beetle to that mission. And Ted Kord was accidentally dropped off there. His look does fit like a good old Western environment. And maybe that's where he's stuck. And finally, Booster Gold has stumbled across this message. And he's going to go and save his best friend. That's going to be the plot of the Booster Gold series. Or maybe that's going to be the tease at the end of it to make a second season or a Booster Gold and Blue Beetle team up, which is exactly what I want. That's one of my top wanted DC projects of all time. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is exactly what I think is going on here. Now, he does also mention during this that Jenny does mention that Ted Kord would just disappear for like lengths of time every now and then. And a very simple explanation is that he would literally be in a different time during those times. He would literally be with Booster Gold on an adventure in just the 1900s, the 1700s, and that's why he's gone for times. Now, the rebuttal to that is that they can just return to the same point they left, but then you don't age properly, so I feel like it's a pretty dumb explanation. Or Ted Kord may have been a part of another famous superhero team, the Justice League International, with tons of characters like Guy Gardner, one of the most famous ones there, Ice, Fire, Martian Manhunter, maybe even Batman. There's so much of what could be happening within those times. But I really do think Ted Kord, and I really hope that he's lost within time. And part of the plot of a future Blue Beetle and Booster Gold film, maybe when Booster Gold is kind of the mentor to Jaime Reyes, is them searching for Ted Kord, because I love that character. And I really think that is what they're teasing here. And that brings us to the big question. Is this film in the DCU or the DCEU or in its own universe? And to really wrap this up, I would say that this film mentions Superman, it mentions Batman, but it might as well just be this movie that takes place within a general DC world. And eventually, once Superman Legacy comes out, you can easily retroactively make it so that this movie takes place after Superman Legacy. Even then, Superman Legacy is not an origin story. So this film might even take place before that and in that universe. And I feel like having the Blue Beetle mantle exist for so long, and the potential existence of the Justice League International, kind of makes it so that this movie doesn't even fit into the DCEU in its current continuity anyway. And that's really where I think. I do think this will eventually be molded into the DCU. And if it's not, I feel like they would end up doing something so similar anyway. Because I feel like the way they set up the Blue Beetle history with Dan Garrett, Ted Kord, him disappearing, Jaime taking over the role, teases as Ted Kord still alive, is such the perfect way to do Blue Beetle and still have both Jaime and Ted Kord, because there's fans of both of them. Dan Garrett, not as much, but this is kind of the perfect way to set up the history of the Blue Beetle. And I really hope it's not wasted by just having this being one-off. And I really hope there's a sequel where eventually Ted Kord gets involved. So thank you guys so much for listening to this. I hope you guys enjoyed that break. I hope you guys learned something about Blue Beetle and are now interested to check out a few comics. Want some recommendations from me, I'd recommend the Justice League International, the Booster Gold Post 52 series written by Dan Jurgens, starting off with Booster Gold 52 pickup, as well as the 2006 Jaime Reyes comic book series where it starts off being written by Keith Giffen, titled Blue Beetle, went on for 3 years. It's a fun book. So yeah, you've got some reading to do if you are interested into where I got a lot of this information from, where all my theories come from. But other than that, I hope you guys enjoyed. Thank you guys so much for listening. I'll catch you all next time. Bye-bye.